Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Open our eyes and our hearts to what you have for us today. Amen. In the sixth month, God sent an angel to Galilee, to a small town called Nazareth, home of just a few hundred people. It sat an hour's walk from the much greater city of Sepphoris, which could well have been where certain Nazarene carpenters went to work. And in this town of Nazareth, a particular girl lived, aged somewhere between 12 and 16. She was, we're told, betrothed, and therefore in the normal year-long wait period of waiting to be married. Her husband-to-be, probably much older than her young years, was of notable descent. King David's line, no less. So in this small, ordinary town of Nazareth, this young girl stood on the brink of womanhood, preparing to fulfill her cultural obligation as wife and eventual bearer of sons to her husband, not knowing that everything was about to change in the most remarkable of ways. For as we know, into this town, to the home of this particular young virgin, God sent an angel. This unexpected messenger appears in the girl's house and greets her with words that God's grace and his presence is with her. And she does not panic, nor does she run away, but she is perplexed, confused. She is a young woman with many questions. What is this angel doing here? What type of message has he come to bring? Without reacting, she thinks on these things. And then the angel reveals his message. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And the angel speaks of pregnancy, of hope, and the long-awaited Messiah. Mary will bear the Messiah, the one Israel has longed for hundreds of years. His name will describe what he will do, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, the one who will bring justice and mercy to his people, who will restore and put right, the one who will save, the one who will establish a new kingdom that cannot be overcome. She is going to be the mother of the Messiah. She will stand like mothers of old, like Sarah, mother of Isaac, Hannah, mother of Samuel, Ruth, the great-grandmother of David. What a blessing, and what an amazing grace. Only she is not yet married. She is still a virgin. How can this be? Maybe in 6 months, when she's married, it could work. But for now, her virginity is paramount. How can this be? So she asks the angel. She doesn't question whether she's qualified for the job, nor does she doubt what the angel says. She asks only, how can this be, since I am a virgin? Literally, how can this be, because I have not known a man? There's no way she could do so before she's married, for she would lose her fiancé, she would face punishment, if not death under the law, not to mention land herself without any future chance of marriage, and with a child born out of wedlock. And then the angel tells her the extraordinary truth. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This child will be a holy child and the Son of God. Unlike past kings, this child will be called a Son of God by birthright, not by adoption. From the moment of conception, this child belongs to God, sacred, holy, and set apart. This was unlike anything expected of old. This was what they were hoping for, but it was also so much more. This baby will be more than a human Messiah, a good rabbi, or a military leader. This child, this Jesus, will be a savior of divine origin. The young virgin will have a miracle baby. And this miracle changes everything. For unquestionably, God will be the one to save his people. The years of waiting and wandering and all the failed attempts at self-liberation are over. God is coming to his people. While the stories of the past have always been interpreted with an eye to God as their ultimate source of help and liberation, now the story needs no interpretation. The Saviour is not provided by God. The Saviour is God. And Mary will be his mom. She was not going to be simply the mother of the Messiah, but the mother of God incarnate. And she will know him before anyone knows him. He will literally be of her flesh, and she will be the one who nurses him, who feeds him when he is hungry, cradles him when he cries, bathes him, changes his diapers, the one who knows every mark on his body and fleck of colour in his eyes. She would cut his hair, prepare his food, and teach him how to navigate human life. Her heart will be the one that breaks for him when he's rejected, weeping over his broken body when he is eventually taken and nailed to the cross. Her heart will break many times over. But for now, all she knows is that she will be his mother. To her will be given an astonishing trust that is from, quite literally, out of this world. And before there is any chance to question or doubt, the angel concludes with this powerful reminder. For nothing will be impossible with God. He has already performed one miracle with Mary's relative, Elizabeth, who, though well past the age to have children, is now into her third term with John the Baptist. If God can do the impossible of enabling a barren woman to conceive, can he not also do the impossible with young Mary so that she will bear the Son of God? And putting aside any fear of social reproach for having a baby before she is married, Mary responds with words of simple trust and acceptance. Here I am, your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. There are no doubts, no questions, no excuses. There is simple, unequivocal trust. God has intervened. God has spoken. How do I respond? May it be according to your word. There is courage and faith in her words. Putting aside any doubts about the practicalities or the cost to her reputation, Mary takes God at his word and accepts the call on her life, trusting him with the outcome. This story of the Annunciation of Mary that we hear more or less every year is both remarkable for the ordinary and the extraordinary. We have a humble setting of a small village that sat in the shadow of a much greater city. We have the revelation made to a young, unwed virgin who would have had little to no status in her community. And then we have the extraordinary message that she will be blessed to be the mother of the Messiah, And not only that, but a divine Messiah, the Son of God, a miracle child born of the Holy Spirit, not by flesh or the will of man. This extraordinary message the angel gives to Mary is far beyond even the unexpected. It speaks of a new age, a new type of hope, a Saviour who is sent not by God, but who is God. And we know the end of the story. We know that Mary really did bear the Son of God, who is the Saviour of all. He did defeat the powers of evil and death through his death and resurrection. He did bring liberation and freedom from sin. But are we willing, like Mary, to receive the fullness of this message in our own ordinary lives? Are we willing to encounter one who is not sent by God, but who is God? Do we still attempt to find our own salvation rather than accept the good news that God has done the necessary work on our behalf? Do we fight the gospel with our own version of events? Or do we have the courage and faith, like Mary, to hear what God has to say to us and respond with simple words of trust? The stark reality of the Christmas story is that it is God who came to save, and came by stripping himself of all honour and glory, and became a baby, dependent on his mother for everything. Like Paul says in Philippians 2, Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, being born in human likeness. It is God in Christ that stands at the door and knocks, asking to come in, asking to conform our lives to the truth of his gospel, asking us to give up trying to be our own gods and let him be the only God who can truly save. So we're left with a question. Will we, like Mary, speak her words of wisdom and reply, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word, whatever the cost." Amen.